It's going to be a great day, right? Nothing bad can happen. Of course not. Not when the beautiful dog is barking outside. And, oh, look, the Terminator's here. What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to Post Finale. I'm your host, Ankit Madeira. I'm an actor and a singer who hasn't seen a lot of films. So to make my friends happy and potentially provide a new perspective on some popular films, I'm on a quest to change that. I am not on this quest alone, however. This week, I am once again joined by writer and podcast host of Journaling with PT, PT Russell. PT, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Excited. This film, I'm just excited about the Terminator.
Oh, yes. It's a fun film. It's a fun time. I have now watched the whole film as we are in the final part of me going through this.
Welcome to the club.
I have thoughts. I never said that they were bad thoughts. I just have thoughts.
Right.
Naturally. They are thoughts. But before we get to my thoughts, and I'm sure more of your thoughts, I have a question for you. Because where would the fun be if I didn't spring a question on you last minute and didn't tell you anything so that you can't prepare? So my question for you and listeners, you all know this. If you could play a character, any of the characters in this film, who would you want to play?
Perhaps Sarah Connor? The real Sarah Connor, not one of the others.
Oh, not the one that opens the door and dies instantly?
Wrong Sarah. No, not the wrong Sarahs.
not the other one who doesn't even show up on film?
No. No, Sarah is she's got it going on. So I definitely would like to be her. I was thinking of Reese. I was like, I don't think so. So I'll stick with the girls. Girls Club. So I'll say Sarah.
Fair. Sounds nice.
Yes.
Very cool. Yeah, I figured that was probably what your answer was going to be. But I always ask, because every now and
then. Don't want to give away why, but, you know.
Sure. But, maybe you can tell me why at the end.
Yes.
We can revisit this question and you can let me know why you chose Sarah. So let's get to the end. So, we just left off, we just had a beautiful dream sequence, and it was the future for Reese, and he was being attacked by a Terminator kind of in their hideout, and he had lost a photo of Sarah, and it burned. So she wakes up, and she says that she was dreaming about dogs, and I was like, yeah, they were just murdered. I was sad, but like, I like animals. He asks if, you know, she was using them to spot the Terminator. And then she just says that your world is really terrifying. Couple of questions. One, what do you mean spot the Terminator? I feel like this has to come back, considering also last time it wasn't really a spoiler. You just said pay attention to dogs.
Yes.
I was like, okay, that can't just be a throwaway line. There's got to be a reason that the dog is there. And then her saying your world is terrifying. Was Reese telling her about the world and then she dreamed about the world? Is that like what we're supposed to imagine? Because I'm imagining that the thing that happened in the future was Reese's dream or like what he was telling her, but it wasn't her dream. But then she says that she was dreaming about dogs. Like, I'm just confused if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is a little confusing. I think it was he was dreaming. And she just happened to be dreaming about dogs, but we don't see what her dream was. We didn't have any insight into her process, whatever she was dreaming.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking that happened. I don't know.
Sure.
Director's notes, maybe?
Director's note. Yes. Look, if I ever have James Cameron or anyone that has worked on any of these films on this podcast... I'm sure I'm going to ask them just very nuanced questions. Like, if I ever meet Matt Damon or Ben Affleck, the question that I have for them is it a sandwich or is it a burger? And which one is it supposed to be? Like, it's nothing that they should ever have to worry about in their lives. But these are the type of questions that I have. So, you know. They... head into the woods, and it's now the morning. They've spent the night under this bridge. They've hid out, and it's now the morning. And meanwhile, Terminator is looking very different after the police fight. He has multiple gashes and cuts on his flesh, all around the face that you can see. His skin is completely flattened out, is the best way that I can describe it. It's sort of like a gooey dough, kind of like if you have like a pizza dough or something like that, and then like imagine it being like really gooey. That's kind of what his face is like. Or for anyone that's been keeping up with the films, it's kind of like a flesh mask like they use in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, sort of. I didn't think of that. Good on
it's
you.
It's messed up.
Yes. Yeah, he's really jacked up.
Oh, that's the other one. Maybe lots of drugs that happens to your skin. I don't know. Possibly?
Possibly. Who knows?
Yeah. Don't do drugs.
Don't know.
So someone then knocks on the door, and this guy has a white undershirt and a cigar. I'm not sure who he is. We learned that he's like a cleaner, a janitor of the motel. Like, that's who he is. Not really a spoiler. But he asks if there's a dead cat inside of the room. Mm-hmm. And the Terminator looks at the door, and we can see that he has a list of possible responses to choose from. Now, this is the list. It is a beautiful list. Here is the list. Yes. No. Or what? Go away. Please come back later. Fuck you, as he does, he picks fuck you, asshole. Mwah. Perfect. No notes. It does fit with the character.
But
I also
do you remember where he learned that from? Do you remember where he learned that from? The line from?
Where he learned that line.
The Terminator, yeah.
Yeah, he learns that line at the very beginning, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah, yeah. So, but what I liked about this was that, yeah, it's a cyborg, but he can still be a kind cyborg that's murdering, because he still had the opportunity to say, please come back later. Like, he could be a kind cyborg, but he is actively choosing not to be a kind cyborg, and I love it.
Yes, he's getting agitated. Can't find Sarah Connor.
He can't complete his mission. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, like, look, he's just trying to do his job. His job is something terrible, don't get me wrong, but he's just trying to do his job.
Yes.
So he then looks back at the diary that he picked up at Sarah's house, and in it, we see through his eyesight again that he's able to pick out Mom's Cabin, Big Bear, and then it has the number 555-9861. If anyone has that number, good luck. But it's already been out in the world for multiple years. So, you know, that's on you if you still have it. And something 181 Spross Lane. I have no idea what that means. I'm assuming that's the address of this cabin. So, cool. Terminator, he's going to go to Mom's Cabin. At least that's my guess. And he puts himself back together, he grabs his machine gun, and without a care in the world, he proceeds to walk down the hallway. I love that as he's walking down the hallway, there's a guy that's also walking the opposite direction that sees him just looking jacked with like a machine gun pointed straight up, sunglasses, leather jacket, like he looks bad. And you just hear this guy walking down the hallway going, God damn! It's perfect.
Yeah. That's a perfect shot, too. It's a perfect shot of him. He looks scary and determined and everything.
Oh, yeah. He looks powerful. Like, is the shot that we just saw where his face is completely loose. It's like, oh, like, he's looking rough. And then you cut to this, and you're like, he ain't rough. He just needed to recuperate, and he's back to business. And that's okay. Everyone needs that from time to time. You need some time to yourself to just, like, chill, relax, put yourself back together. Sometimes it's just like, I've had a long night. I'm going to relax, and I'll get back to it in the morning. That's it. That's all Terminator needed. He just needed some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone out here hating on him. Rude. Rude exactly. people. not you personally, but like, you know, he's just trying to do his job. So anyway, meanwhile, Sarah and Reese have hitchhiked their way to the Tiki Motel, and Reese hands her a wad of cash and asks, is this enough? And Sarah's just like, it is. And she doesn't even want to ask how he got his hands on it. I respect that, Sarah. You don't want to know. It's not worth it. Not worth the headache. So, up at the lobby, there is a dog tied up outside, and it is a German Shepherd. Same as the flashback. So I was like, oh. And then Reese is also petting the dog. So I was like, oh. Is she going to adopt this dog? Was this her dog? And then I said, no, this can't be her dog. Dogs don't live that long because Reese is from 40 years in the future.
Exactly.
So it's not the same dog. It could be a descendant of the same dog, but it's not the same dog. But I was like, dog. And we're on dog watch. I feel like I was supposed to be on some other type of watch that I have forgotten what watch I was supposed to be on while I was watching this film. Listeners, I'm really sorry if I have forgotten what I was supposed to be paying attention to. A lot happens in between these films.
Yes, yeah, things happen.
So, Sarah asks for a room, and Reese says, with a kitchen. And I'm curious as to why he is so adamant that they need one with a kitchen. They do get one with a kitchen.
He wants to cook some stuff.
Okay, that's all. Yeah. It's just he wants to be able to eat. Fair enough. That makes sense. I guess, like, you know, does make logical sense.
Well, he wants to cook some stuff. I mean, stuff could be food or other things. I don't know.
True. He does cook a thing. I'm assuming it's food. We'll get to it. So, we get into the room. Sarah is dying for a shower, and Reese goes through, looks at all the windows, checks all the vantage points, all of that. Good guy, Reese, just making sure that their tracks are covered. And Sarah is also saying that, hey, we need to check your bandage. And Reese just says, later, I'm going out for supplies. So, Reese hands her a gun. He leaves. Sarah does look a little dejected at first, and then she picks up the gun, and we cut away to Reese looking over his shoulder, kind of like making sure Sarah isn't watching him as he leaves.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, he's like weirdly looking over his shoulder. And it made me wonder, like, why would you be worried if Sarah's watching you through the window? And I was wondering, like, is he about to go do something slightly shady? Not that, like, he hasn't done shady things all movie, technically speaking. But that being said, it's also, like, not the same. I don't know. It left me with a weird taste. Turns out, spoiler alert, it's nothing. And I've read way too much into this moment. But I was like, why? Why is he so worried? Anyway.
They might have cut something out, you know. They might have cut something out. Maybe something else. There was something else going on in between those scenes.
That possibly is possible. In editing. That is possible. It may have been through the edit. But yeah, it just looked weird. It did just look weird. But again, I possibly was just reading way too into it.
Yeah,
so
that too.
Sarah's on the phone with her mom, who just wants to know where she is. And Sarah can't say. And mom wants to know something. She was told to go hide out in the cabin and isn't told what is going on. So in my notes immediately, I wrote, well, rest in peace, mother. And Sarah then gives her the number, like a newbie, and also gives her the room number. Because, like, why wouldn't you? But while Sarah is divulging this information, we see a pan start to begin of the cabin, and it's all shot up. And actually, the person on the phone is Terminator, making the call, but using mom's voice to make the call. And I was like, oh, he is good. He knows how to get what he wants. Sorry?
I love you too, sweetheart.
I love you too, sweetheart.
But he did that before.
So
that parlor trick.
It's lovely.
He did it earlier with the police officer.
So Terminator then hangs up the phone, calls the Tiki Motel and just goes, give me your address, please. And get the address. He is smart. You cannot deny yes. he is very good at his job other than the killing the right Sarah Connor. He's good at tracking her down. He's just not good at the murdering her part of the whole sequence.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Reese, back with supplies. Mm. And he has picked up paper towels, mothballs, corn syrup, and ammonia. Mm. Not really sure why these things are useful, but we never really learn. So, Sarah asks what's for dinner, and guess what's for dinner? It is plastique. Ooh, it sounds fancy. It sounds special. It is. It's a nitroglycerin base, a bit more stable, and Reese learned how to make it when he was a kid. Sarah looks less appetized than possibly just not eating dinner that night. She's like, why am I agreeing to eat this?
It's not edible stuff, man.
Apparently maybe the syrup, it is.
But that's about it.
Apparently it is. Oh, not what he bought. I'm saying what he made is apparently edible.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. So, I don't know. Terminator is now on a red motorcycle. And he is on his way to the Tiki Motel. And he is looking badass as he does while he rides this red motorcycle. Looks really nice. Yeah. So Reese and Sarah, they are cleaning something, it looks like. I didn't really know what they were doing. Turns out they're making bombs. Cool. So they will be ambushed and will have to flee again, won't they? Is what I had in my notes. I was like, they're going to be ambushed. They're going to have to go on a run. That's probably what's going to happen. But as I was saying, I was also like, you know, I also have in my notes, if Reese is John's dad, this is as good a time as any to get that happening. And then something happens. So yeah, I'm going to give myself a win there. But then again, I didn't have to read too hard into the scene. I could see the setting and used an educated guess. So
yes.
Sarah screws on the cap and is told to be gentle and everything. Reese looks at it and is like, great, we need 6 more like this. I'll get started on the fuses. And that's when I clocked out, you're making bombs. But they finish all of this and, you know, they're waiting and Sarah's lying on the bed and asks if he'll find them. And by him, she means the Terminator. Reese is like, probably. And Sarah gets up and joins Reese, who is up by the window, keeping a watch. And Sarah confirms that it can never be over. And she is shaking and she's like, some legend, huh? You must be pretty disappointed. Reese is not disappointed. No, because he is attracted to this woman, as I have been saying this whole film. But Sarah asks what the women in of his time are like, and Reese thinks for a moment and just goes, good fighters. He is so pure. I love it.
Yeah. Really sweet.
And then I was like, she's attracted to him. Just tell him this. Like,
he's why adorable. You, like, what's not to
right?
be attracted to?
Like, Sarah, just tell him you like him. Stop dancing around the question. Just be like, hey, was there anyone? So, like, to her credit, she does then ask the follow-up question and is straight up. She's like, no, that's not what I meant. Was there someone special?
Right.
And to her credit, she asks the question and is just like, yeah, no, this isn't what I meant. Like, look, do you have someone special in your life? And he says, no, never. Sarah is a bit surprised by never. And she is genuinely sorry from what it can tell. And then she does the weird, like, gentle hand hovering over his back. Like, she wants to touch him and comfort him, but she can't because if she touches him, he's gonna fall to pieces because he's made out of paper mache and he's fragile. Like, I do not understand this. Who actually does this in real life? Does anybody actually do this in real life?
I think she was thinking, like, should I touch him or not? Am I making a mistake here or?
Oh, yeah, because they definitely haven't, like, run through the town with their hands, like, you know, interlocked the entire time. And then, like, them hugging and like hiding in dark corners. No. They haven't been intimate at all.
No, I think she was overcome with emotion because of what he's saying too.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm not denying that, right? And yeah. I'm not denying that the level of intimacy that is about to happen and that, like, you know, touching his back and things, that is a different level of intimacy than what has been happening as you've been running around town being chased by a cyborg. Yes. But at the same time, if anybody has actually done this in their real life, please let me know. Because never in a situation that anybody that I have loved, whether it is a friend, whether it is a family member, whether it is a significant other, where I have been in a situation where I'm like, I feel like I want to comfort you, but I also can't comfort you. Like, I don't know. It's so weird. I've never seen anybody do that in real life before, but I see it all the time in movies. And I'm just like, why? I understand the emotion that they are trying to convey.
In this situation, he has the scars and all that, and she's thinking about all of this. She's overcome with emotion. That's what I think happened in the moment. My take on it, anyways.
Okay, yeah, he does have the scars. That might be a thing. But yeah, again, it's just, it's something that we see a lot in film. And I do appreciate that she didn't necessarily, like, just touch him and, like, you know, because, like, you know, it is sometimes difficult, and it's hard to always know in life when, like, something is okay and something isn't. Like, consent is a big thing. So, like, appreciate her for not just immediately being like, this is okay. But also, all I'm saying is, like, nobody in my experience has ever been that close to wanting to, like, hug someone and comfort them or touch them and, like, comfort them and then done the weird hand hover thing. That's all I'm saying here.
All right.
Meanwhile, moving on. She's like, so much pain. And I burst out laughing at that line. I was like, yeah, okay, that's great.
Yeah, because everything's coming together. She's thinking about the dream. She's thinking about all the things he said. And so, yeah she's just, oh, that's what I'm saying. It's like a buildup. The culmination
is all
about.
No, it is a
buildup.
It is beautifully done. It's a beautifully well done scene. I am being very nitpicky. And he says something very interesting, Reese does, and he says that pain can be controlled, you just disconnect it.
Okay.
Not necessarily always the best thing to do, please don't do that, but, like, he isn't wrong that pain can be controlled. So, Sarah asks if he truly just feels nothing. And then he goes into a beautiful monologue, and he says, John Connor gave me a picture of you once. I didn't know why at the time. It was very old. Torn, faded. You were young like you are now. You seemed just a little sad. I used to always wonder what you were thinking of at that moment. I memorized every line, every curve. I came across time for you, Sarah. I love you. I always have. Beautiful. And that's where I was like, oh, I am right. He is going to be John Connor's dad. Oh, I was right. Let's go. I paused it. I like was like, yay. I didn't do a lap around the room. I have done that in previous times of watching films. Not this time, though. I didn't feel that proud of this one because it was kind of written on the wall. But also, does that mean that he is stuck in some weird time paradox thing?
Quite possibly. Quite possibly. If you've seen subsequent films, then you'd know that. Anyways, you start to pick things up in the story.
Yeah. But, like, okay. That is true. But at the same time, like, okay, did you hear the, because you froze for a second, did you hear the time paradox question? Or no?
You mentioned something about the time paradox and I started speaking. I can't remember.
Okay, cool. I don't know what you said. So, yeah. But, yeah, is he stuck in a weird time paradox thing?
Possibly. It's a possibility.
Okay. We'll talk a bit more about it once we fully... I guess we'll finish the scene, and then we'll talk about the... We'll get to the end, we'll talk about the time paradox thing. But I have a problem with this time paradox. So, like, yeah. Because this isn't how time travel works. So, Reese gets up, he grabs a bag and starts angrily putting things that they made, the bombs that they made, into the bag, says that he shouldn't have said that, and he's sorry that he did. And Sarah stops him by grabbing his face and then starts kissing him, and he does nothing, and it's very awkward. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you can imagine this very well, but imagine two people kissing, right? Now imagine one of the people doesn't kiss back and is just standing there. So like, perfect scenario, you're seeing someone kiss a mannequin. That's pretty much what Sarah's doing. She's kissing a mannequin. Reese is real, but he's given her nothing, and it's really weird.
He's in shock.
Oh, look, I'm not denying why he's not giving her anything in return. I'm just saying it looks awkward.
Yeah, it was a little awkward at first.
I mean, then they both start kissing, and then it moves to the bed, and then suddenly, oh, coitus! And
yes, in full swing.
In full swing. There is a beautiful piano score. Credit to credit.
Yes. Yes.
The piano score in this moment of time, absolutely gorgeous. The other thing that I did notice, there were a lot of shots of holding hands with interlocking fingers in various depths of, I guess, tension in the hands is the best way to describe it.
Yes. Wonderfully shot, though.
Beautifully shot.
Yes.
Very nice scene all around. Mm-hmm. Significant amount of shots of hands.
Well, the hands, they're expressing what's happening with the bodies, right? You can kind of use your imagination.
They did very well. Even
the
with
interlocking,
all of the
you know,
hands,
all that stuff. Yes.
The interlocking, the spreading apart, the coming back together. Oh, it was beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of shots of hands.
Well, it's either the hands or the butts. I mean, so we got instead of the pelvic thrusting, we got the hand clapsing.
That is true. That
clasping.
Is true. Again, it was very well done. It was a good scene. Nice scene. And I was like, aha, John Connor has been conceived. And
mission accomplished.
One mission down, one more to go. We do have another note that I have, and I was like, oh, this is where I probably should have ended the last episode of Post Finale, but oh well, here we are. I haven't watched the film before. So, on that wonderful note, we're going to take a quick break for an intermission, and then we'll come right back.
Hi, this is Steven. Thank you for watching Co-op Forge. If you like our content, wish to support our editing staff or all, please subscribe to our Patreon and link down below. You'll get bonus footage and many other fun activities out of it. In our description, you'll also find links to our social media, where we'll post about our new episodes. Flip the Scripts is every Friday. Seattle Across the Pond is every other Thursday. And Post Finale is posted every Wednesday. Thank you for watching. Now back to the main episode.
So, we are back, and Terminator did not reach in time to interrupt the coitus, so, like, Terminator, I'm sorry, you failed your mission. The whole point was to kill Sarah before John was conceived. You didn't succeed, so you might as well just, like, give up and go live a life in Tahiti. Like, why not? Sit back. Kick back, drink a margarita out of a coconut. I don't know what they do in Tahiti. I've never been to Tahiti. I've only heard of Tahiti. So, not really sure what's going on in Tahiti. Anyway, if anyone is from Tahiti and listening to this, hello! If you're not, also hello. But, they get dressed, and Sarah plays Think Fast, gets Reese to flinch. Fantastic game. When you don't actually throw something at someone, and you just get them to flinch. It's great. Good fun. So, they get dressed, and...
But that was the first time he had smiled, was it not, in the whole film?
I think it was the second time that he smiled in the whole
film. When did he smile before then?
I think he smiles once earlier,
Maybe it was a sarcastic, sneer or something, but
yeah,
not
it might have been a sarcastic sneer that I counted as a smile, but this might be the first genuine smile.
Yeah.
Okay.
A picture of possible... You know, lighter day.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a great day, right? Nothing bad can happen. Of course not. Not when the beautiful dog is barking outside and, oh, look, the Terminator's here. So Terminator has shown up. He was like, I cannot interrupt them. I need to let them have their night of happiness. I will murder them in the daytime. So they are able to escape. Terminator gets there. I appreciate the person that gets to the car and they see Terminator and then they just like freeze up against the car. And I was like, we probably aren't going to see it, but I really hope that they are smart enough to just get in the car and drive away after seeing Terminator do that and roll up like that. So Terminator breaks into the room. He fires. There's nobody there. And I just have a note. This music is fun. I cannot remember what the music is, but I think it's just a bunch of eighth notes at that moment. Just going that, 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 in some way, shape, or form. I don't remember what it is exactly, but I was just like, this is fun music. And Reese pulls the person out of the car and steals their car. And I was like, I should have seen this coming. So he then slams into Terminator and then drives off. Terminator gets on the bike. He gives chase. Terminator starts firing and Sarah pulls out what they were making and Reese yells to trade places. They do, and Reese starts throwing these bombs. And Reese tells Sarah to also drive faster and they head into this tunnel. Reese begins throwing the bombs back. Originally, I thought they were just smoke bombs because, like, that's all we could see was smoke and then we didn't really see them, like, blow up. But then, like, one did blow up. So I was like, okay, their bombs are just weak. So Reese throws about four of them and then he is about to throw the fifth one and he gets shot. Oh no. I didn't feel like Reese was gonna die, at least yet. I was like, Reese probably isn't gonna survive because we do know that John's dad dies before the war. And so I'm like, okay, so if I'm saying that Reese is the dad, I'm assuming Reese isn't surviving probably to the end of the film would be my best guess at this point. Like, he's probably gonna die or he's gonna be so severely injured, like, I don't really think he's going to be around at the end of the film. I don't know why, but he's not going to be around at the end of the film. My best guess is that he's going to die by the end of the film.
Oh, wow.
Look, he just got shot. Like, he's not dead yet. And I was like, he's not going to die yet, but he's going to die eventually. It's going to happen. It's just the way that it is. It's got to happen. So she gets him back in, and Terminator is out of rounds with the machine gun, so he switches to a pistol. He hits the side mirror and Sarah uses this information. She forces him to hit a curb and crash. However, Sarah also hits the curb. The truck flips over and they crash as well. Everybody is hurt. But just then, Terminator starts to get up. And right as he starts to get up, he is hit by a truck. And not just any truck, ladies and gentlemen. A semi-truck if you are in the States, and a lorry if you are in the UK or elsewhere in the world. I don't know what the terminology is. These are the two tractor terminologies trailer. I know for
people,
this.
They call them different things. Tractor trailers.
Tractor trailers, yeah. Tons of different names for them. Really big truck. So instead of just being hit and then just staying under the truck, he does grab onto the truck to kind of like slow it down. The driver gets out and ends up getting killed by Terminator, who then heads up to the driver's seat. He gets in, and Terminator just tells the passenger, he just says, get out. And he does. Good guy there. He was like, I don't need to kill you. Just leave. Just get out of this situation. And he does. Smart guy. He gets to live. Nobody else gets to live, but he does. So I did want to say, though, impressive for that truck driver to hit him on a street that is that empty.
Yeah.
Like, how? How many drinks had this driver had where he was drunk driving and had no reaction time at all? Because you're telling me
that the big truck is, you can't slow them down instantly. They have a lot of gears and whatnot.
Right. I'm not saying slow them down instantly. But if you look at the scene beforehand, where it's, you know, you had the trucks coming, but when they flipped and when they had their crash, there were no trucks behind them. And then the truck appeared. So that means that the crash had to have happened. The truck has to see this crash happen, right? You're saying that this truck, even if they are in eyesight of this crash, right? Like, still give it a general sense of like, okay, they might have been close enough to slow down. They wouldn't be going as fast as they would be going when they hit Terminator. They were still going at like 60, 70 miles per hour when they hit Terminator. And then they slowed down. If you see the crash ahead of you, I feel like, just as a general rule, try to stop your vehicle. Whatever that may be.
He
failed miserably. There was no success. Anyway, Terminator looks very beaten up. You can see a lot of his cyborg parts on his face now, and through his vision we get some type of schematic pops up, probably explaining how to get this truck to move. So meanwhile, Sarah is trying to get reset at the car. Terminator manages to turn around the semi truck and is heading back their way. Sarah gets Reese out just in time to not get crushed by the truck. They start to run down the street, but Terminator is gaining at a surprisingly slow speed because he is in a big truck and they are on foot and one of them has been shot, but they can still outrun him. Oh, movie magic, ladies and gentlemen. Movie magic at its finest. The truck, 60 miles per hour when it hits Terminator, and after that has a like max speed of 10 miles per hour. That's it. That's as fast as it can go. So he's chasing them. Reese falls down at a dumpster and tells Sarah to not stop and to keep on running. And as the truck pulls by, he lights up one more of the fuse bombs and sticks it into the exhaust pipe. He then climbs and pulls himself into the dumpster. Convenient dumpster. But just then, Terminator is getting close. He's, you know, gaining on Sarah in that 10 mile per hour semi truck. And he's getting close. And just as he is about to get there, his entire truck explodes from the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. Yes. Well done by Reese. He blows up the truck. He gets rid of the 10 mile per hour beast that was out to get them. Wow, that truck moved at such a slow speed, but it's gone. It's gone. We don't have to worry about it. Reese falls back out of the dumpster, and Terminator is on fire, but he gets out of the car, and he then falls to the ground and starts to burn to death, presumably. And we kind of see his head melt away a bit, and Sarah,
I didn't notice that, his head melting.
Yeah. So his head, like, there's like a thing that kind of resembles like a flesh or like the skull, and it kind of like melts away and starts to fall.
Oh, what's
yeah, that? Yeah. Or at least that's what I thought it was.
Okay. Possibly.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. So Sarah starts to walk back to the fiery wreckage, and here's the thing: you are telling me that this is a residential neighborhood, because as they are running around, you can see like the apartments and the buildings and stuff. And you can tell that it's probably a residential neighborhood of sorts. You're telling me.
I didn't get that impression. It looked like a commercial section of town.
Really? It looked residential to me. I don't know. There were a lot of cars, but either way, right? You're telling me that in whatever part of town this is, you hear an explosion that big and nobody came outside to investigate? Not a single person? Nobody cares. Everyone's just like, I don't know what was happening in LA in the 80s, but apparently everyone was just okay with massive explosions happening on their street like every other day. Like, it's just, whatever. Like, I don't know what was happening in LA at the 80s. Maybe I should ask my friend's dad, but like, I don't know. They seemed very chill about this one. And here's the thing. We know that it's daytime. It's not the middle of the night again. So.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I find it very funny. It doesn't make any sense. We move on. But anyway, Reese and Sarah, they connect in the flames. You know, you see Reese coming through the flames. Reese is dying. He's not dead yet. He will be by the end of the film, most likely, is my guess. But he is dying. And Sarah tells him, we did it. We got him.
Perfect place to end.
No, you didn't.
It's a perfect place to end. Beautiful.
Right? Beautiful ending. Perfect. Picturesque. Nobody has to die. Oh, wait. Terminator's alive. And all the flesh is gone, so maybe that's what I saw melt away earlier. Not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's possible. So I think I saw that melt away. But all the flesh is gone, and it's just the cyborg part that is left. Reese sees this, and then they go running again. They're getting a lot of cardio in this film. Like, those actors must have gotten a good amount of cardio just from work. It's like, hey, did you go to the gym today? No. What did you do? I just ran. Why? I was told to run away from a robot. So that's all I did today. I just ran away from a robot for 8 hours and called it good.
Yeah, especially all the takes and everything's good workout.
Oh, yeah. So the robot starts chasing them, as it should, and they break into this building, and Reese and Sarah run through some halls with Terminator not far behind them, and Terminator on foot walking is faster than the semi-truck driving, so, you know, that definitely adds
limping
up.
Terminator limping.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Terminator limping is faster than the semi-truck driving, so, like, you know, everything's adding up in this film. It all makes complete sense. I totally get it. Yeah, not a problem in sight. So, just in the nick of time, though, they get through a metal sling door, and they're able to close it. Terminator cannot get through right away. Reese turns on a bunch of machines, and it's to cover their tracks so that he can't track them. Makes sense, so that, you know, he doesn't know which direction they went. Sarah tries to get Reese, but he is very injured from his bullet wound, and Reese tells Sarah to leave him. Sarah doesn't want to do this, but Terminator begins to break through this metal wall. And Sarah tells Reese, on your feet, soldier, move it. And I appreciated that. I appreciate that she just went soldier mode. We had been hearing about her and how she was able to, like, show and how she taught John to rally and how she taught him to fight and all of that. So I appreciate that, like, you see a little glimpse of that now. So Terminator is through, though. He's through this metal door, and he's looking through this warehouse for Reese and Sarah. While they are trying to sneak away, Sarah accidentally turns on a machine, giving Terminator a sense of where they are, and Reese grabs a metal pipe. Our heroes then accidentally end up in a dead end, and they head back, but Terminator has found them. So they slowly back up. They back up the stairs, and Terminator starts to follow them up the stairs. Reese tells Sarah to run, and then hits Terminator in the head with the metal pipe multiple times. Terminator, however, then hits Reese and sends him flying. Reese places the last bomb, because they made 6, and credit to the film, they only gave them 6 bombs when they made 6 bombs, so I appreciate that they didn't suddenly give them too many bombs. But he places the last bomb into Terminator, kind of like at his waist.
Yeah, his rib cage, like that.
His rib cage, yeah, waist, pelvic bone, that area. And he places it there, and he lights the bomb, and unlike the last bomb that was put in the exhaust pipe of the lorry, he lights it and it blows up almost instantly, but it blows up Terminator, and it also sends Reese flying down the stairs. And I was like, oh, was this Reese's sacrifice? That's a badass way to go out, but also, like, it's gonna hurt. I do like Reese. I'm expecting him to die. But I do like Reese. Like, I don't want him to die. I'm just expecting him to die. There's a difference.
True.
So, it was interesting, and I was like, okay, cool. And, you know, he was launched backwards. The other thing that I noticed was that Reese was not next to the stairs when he kind of fell and put the bomb in, but then he was launched down the stairs, and I was like, aha, continuity breaks. But yeah, so Terminator notices the bomb, but it implodes immediately, and he is blown to bits, as I just said. And Sarah seems to have her leg hurt from an explosion, from this explosion, and a piece of metal has managed to find its way into her leg. And she pulls herself over to Reese, who was on the floor after pulling this piece of metal out. She flips him over, and Reese is dead.
Gone
too soon.
Like Frank Sinatra. Like Elvis and his mom, everybody's gone.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it true that Elvis died on a toilet?
So I heard.
Okay. I have heard this.
Yes.
And it still baffles me every time that I hear this.
It's possible that he was having symptoms because he had heart failure or a heart attack or something, and maybe that was one of the
symptoms.
Maybe
he had a heart attack while he was on the toilet.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. Well, that sucks. Mm. Not where you necessarily want to go. But I guess that was his time. So anyway, the top half of the Terminator, as, you know, we have assumed that everything is blown up. Reese being dead, I mean, like, yeah, we kind of glossed over it, but, like, also, I've been saying that he's going to die the entire time. So, like, I kind of just felt vindicated, and I was like, he's dead, cool, we can move on. Like, I do like him, but I also kind of just realized he has to die in this film. It's just the way that this film is going to work. He's going to die. So, I just understood that. And, yeah. So, top half of Terminator then wakes up and scares Sarah. And I was like, okay, that one got me too. I did think that Terminator was just going to be dead then. I thought Reese's sacrifice was going to be the sacrifice to kill Terminator off. I think it would have been really cool if Reese was the one to kill off Terminator. I get why they didn't have it, but, like, it would have been really cool if that's what it was. I would have kind of liked that ending a bit better, I think.
Blaze of glory?
Blaze of glory for Reese.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening is Terminator's top half comes back to life and starts crawling its way towards Sarah. Sarah pulls herself away and manages to start crawling away, but the top half kind of grabs her leg, but she shakes it off. And she keeps crawling away. And the Terminator gives chase. And I was like,
I love the planning of this director-writer, because she has the broken leg. She can't stand up or run. And so they're on even keel, right?
I do definitely think it was, like, a very specific choice to make sure that they had the shot of her leg is hurt. Like, she cannot run. Like, I think it adds a very good element to this very slow final fight chase, I guess. Like, I can't think of many other chase sequences that are this slow but this intense in terms of filmography. Listeners, if anybody knows, toss them in the comments. I'm very intrigued on just slow chase scenes that are intense. It doesn't have to necessarily be at any specific point of a film, but just what are slow chase scenes that are also still intense? This is one of them. What are others? But anyway, Sarah is pulling herself up into, like, this tight space, and it kind of looks like it's some type of press is what I'm guessing.
Something hydraulic.
Some type of hydraulic press or something. It's like a bigger hydraulic press, but it's some type of press. I'm not really sure. But yeah, this is what I'm guessing it is. It's not very clear on what it is. It's not outwardly stated on what it is. So Sarah pulls herself up into this space, and as she's crawling, Terminator's following her, and she is doing a very good job of just staying just out of reach. So Terminator is always like just like a couple of hand lengths away from grabbing her leg and stopping her. But she manages to get out and close a gate that stops the Terminator from leaving this cramped space. But there was a very specific shot of buttons as she was crawling out. And they just go, oh, it is probably something like a hydraulic press. She's going to crush him to bits, isn't she? That's how it's going to end. And lo and behold, Terminator reaches out. And he
there was foreshadowing of that when they first went in there, though.
What?
There was foreshadow when they first went into the factory.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I missed the foreshadow then. I got the foreshadow 10 seconds before. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I missed the foreshadow that was like, you know, 5 minutes earlier. No, 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 no. I picked up the foreshadow 10 seconds before it happened. This is what I am good at. I am not good at understanding foreshadowing in the past. Otherwise, I wouldn't know how films would end. Yeah, I don't know how a lot of films end. I have a very bad track record of guessing things correctly. I feel slightly vindicated on this one. I am very happy, though, because she presses the buttons, and then the machine whirs up. It starts. It crushes Terminator. And she has a beautiful line. Just goes, "You're terminated, f***er."
Yeah.
Beautiful. And yes. Then it proceeds to kill the Terminator once and for all. And there was a lot of lightning as Terminator died. That was an interesting choice to me. I didn't really understand why all the lightning. I feel like they should have
There was a lot
just...
of lightning when they came in, remember?
Yeah, but then there wasn't lightning when Reese died. So, like, why is there lightning now?
I guess it's a part of what's inside of him. Inside of the T-800.
Sure, he's a machine, but like, I've definitely accidentally dropped and like, burst a machine before, and it didn't suddenly lightning struck, like, no! That's not how a machine works.
It was also, dramatic though.
It was very dramatic. It was very dramatic. I just feel like it would have been more dramatic if there wasn't the lightning. I don't think it was needed. Personally speaking, I think the lightning was a really cool effect to show them entering the world, right? Because mm-hmm. for me, the lightning was a symbol of this time travel device that they used. Mm-hmm. Those are the only other two times that you see the lightning. And it's very specific to this time travel device. So I kind of wish that they didn't have the lightning so that it still had that special meaning. Now it's just kind of like, okay, but why was there lightning now? Because it's not like he's time traveling back to his time. He's just being crushed. And I have seen videos of hydraulic presses, and when a machine is crushed, it's just crushed, right? Like, it can still be robotic, it can still be metallic, but when it's crushed, a machine is just crushed.
They want to prolong the moment, so, yeah.
Yeah. The drama. Again, it was dramatic. I just feel like they could have picked a different effect. I think maybe even a different effect other than the lightning would have just hit harder for me at this moment. And my main gripe was just, like, it had a beautiful symbol to what it was already. Like, what this lightning meant already had this beautiful symbol of what it was meant to be. And I feel like it's diminished now what
I didn't think
was
about
meant
that.
To be.
I never thought about it that way. I sure. thought, like, he entered in, now he's leaving the world the same way. I don't know, I thought it was something like poetic justice.
Understandable, yeah. My only thing on poetic justice would be Reese deserves poetic justice as well. He didn't even kill Terminator. Like, you're giving him nothing. You don't give him the lightning, you don't give him the kill.
He helped Sarah, because if it wasn't for that explosion, she didn't stand a chance.
She didn't stand a chance. Don't get me wrong. He helped Sarah. Sure. All I'm saying is that if you're gonna have lightning for one person, give the other the lightning flowers that they deserve as well.
He went in the explosion, so there was light. There was a burst of light. It was just different.
Okay, okay. We'll agree to disagree. Otherwise, I have a feeling we will be here all afternoon. So, how we do know officially, though, that the Terminator dies is that we see the red light in his eyes hiss away. Beautifully done. Sarah is now being treated by medical staff, and we see Reese being put in a body bag, confirming he is truly and utterly dead. Later, we hear Sarah in a voiceover. 7th November, 10th. No, that's not what I just said. What did I just say? She says 7 November 10th. Where was I? And as this starts coming up, she is driving down some road, most likely somewhere out in a desert, is all I can give you based on the scenery. There are some mountains in the background. It's dry. So what she says is that what's difficult is trying to decide what to tell you and what not to. But I guess I have a while before you're old enough to understand these tapes. And I was like, oh, she's recording tapes for John Connor. It is Reese's kid. Confirmation that I was right, even though I knew that I was right. It's just official confirmation that I was right. And I was like, okay, weird time paradox, right? This is my issue. So you're telling me that everything has to work perfectly. But what has to happen is two random people in the future have to have Reese as a kid. Reese then has to be sent back and then dies, but then has to be born again. Like, it does work, but it's also like, why? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, how can, I don't know. Time travel is messy, but I don't like it. I don't like this one. This one doesn't make sense to me. But then again, I also love the Back to the Future franchise, so like, you know, this one is significantly less complicated time travel. It just annoys me in time travel. But anyway, time travel is just complicated. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's weird. Ladies and gentlemen, let me know what you think, because I don't know. I'm having weird issues about it, but maybe I'm just not thinking of time travel in the correct way, because there are lots of ways to think about time travel in time travel world. But anyway, enough of that. Where we are. So she also then says, they are more for me at this point, just so that I can get it straight. And then I realized, oh, there's a dog in the back of the Jeep. Oh, is this why I was supposed to pay attention to dogs? Because she gets a dog.
Because dogs spot Terminators.
Wait, dogs spot Terminators?
Yes, they can tell if they're not human.
This makes sense of why Reese said, were you using them to sniff out Terminators? Oh, I get it now. Oh, okay.
And that's when he heard the dog at the tiki, and he was like, uh-oh, Terminator's here. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just instincts. Like,
it's just a given that dogs just don't like Terminators?
I think they know that they're just not human.
Okay, okay. So they'll just bark at it because they're like, you look human, but you're not human. What are you?
Yeah, dogs know that they're smart.
Oh, dogs are incredibly smart creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. There's a dog in the back. I love that. So we get to a gas station, and they are speaking Spanish, so I'm assuming they are most likely in Mexico. They might be somewhere else, but my guess, based on the fact that we were in California this entire film, my guess is that they are in Mexico. So at the gas station, she asks the man to fill up her tank, and then she continues by saying, should I tell you about your father? Boy, that's a tough one. Will it affect your decision to send him here, knowing that he is your father? If you don't send Kyle, you can never be. God, a person could go crazy thinking about this. I suppose I will tell you. I owe him that. Maybe it'll help you if you know that in a few hours that we had together, we loved a lifetime's worth. You spent one night together, lady, and most of it was spent from running from a machine. What do you mean you loved a lifetime's worth? How many deep conversations
exactly
did you have?
Exactly what she said.
literally a lifetime. Thing. I mean, Reese is dead. His life has ended, and I guess they did love for the rest of his lifetime. So, she's not wrong. But also, it just, every single time I see something like this, it reminds me of the absurdity of Romeo and Juliet that is fantastic, and I love it, but it is also wild when you think of it in certain ways. So yeah. It's a good time. Gotta love, you know, people falling in love and then getting murdered.
Oh, wow.
Something about it. Society just really likes those stories. They're like, we want them to suffer, but also love.
Yeah, bittersweet.
Bittersweet, bittersweet. Yeah. So, a kid then comes up, asks to take a picture, asks for $5 for a picture, feels ashamed because they have to ask, you know, this beautiful lady. But if they don't ask, then the father will beat them. First of all, very dark. But second of all, Sarah gives him credit on the hustle, which I also appreciate. She's like, you were good. That was a good one. Like, well done. And then offers him $4 and takes the picture. And it's the picture that Reese has that burns in the flames later. Oh, it all comes full circle. Beautiful. Lovely. She was thinking about him. Isn't that so heartwarming and touching? But the kid warns that there is a storm coming. And like a badass, Sarah says, I know. Puts on some sunglasses like a cool person would, and then drives off down the deserted road into the wilderness. And that's the end of the film!
With the score just throbbing in the background. Beautiful.
With a beautiful score. Fun film, I would say. I do have the ratings and the reviews. Do you have any thoughts on the film? Overall, I think it's a very fun film. I do think I'm very intrigued to see what.
For a sec.
Oh, I am intrigued on what Terminator 2 is going to be, because anytime in the past couple of weeks that I've told people that, like, this is what I'm working on right now, as I've been recording these episodes, they're all like, oh, the first or second. And everyone's like, oh, you've got to watch the second. You have to watch the second. So I'm very intrigued.
You have to.
On
you have to.
What the second entails. And I'm going to put this down now before we get into the rest of this. I think the second, I know that we see Arnold Schwarzenegger back, which just means that he's another cyborg. Mm-hmm. That's perfectly fine. Like, it makes sense of how he comes back. I want to say the second is potentially. Yes. John Connor and following John Connor's story. I think that would be really cool. Seeing a bit of John Connor. That's all I'll say. I'll have more guesses and a more intricate guess when I eventually get to Terminator 2. But in the meantime, do you have any final thoughts on this film before we go over all the nominations and the rankings and the ratings and everything like that?
There's a reason it's one of my favorite films of all time. It's just beautifully done. The score, the acting, it's immersive. It's captivating. It's one of the best sci-fi films ever made, in my opinion. And I love it.
Nice. What would you rate it out of 10? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Definitely 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Fair. I'd probably give it, like, an 8.5 out of 10. Because I did really.
No, 10 out of 10.
No. I heard you. I said I would give it an 8 or 8.
Oh,
and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd probably give it an 8, 8.5.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah. I do still think it was a very solid film. I think I'd probably lean a bit more to 8 just because there were, like, a fair few just continuity things, a few things that just didn't make sense necessarily. Some small things here and there and, you know, bits of the plot where I was like, okay, why is this the case and things like that. So I'd probably give it like about an 8 out of 10. I feel like that's a fair rating. And I did give it that rating before I read what everyone else said. But for anyone curious, it has an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay.
100% Rotten Tomatoes critic score.
Of course.
89% Rotten Tomatoes audience score. It is ranked number 220 on the IMDb Top 250. It had 8 wins in 15 total nominations across various different awards that it could win. And we had been talking about it quite a bit, more in the last episode than in this episode, but we had talked about the low budget. It was made on a budget of $6.4 million.
Oh, now, it's nothing.
Which, in the grand scheme, absolutely nothing. Would you like to take a guess on how much you think the box office was? Now, keep in mind, this is box office. This is not DVD sales. This is not VHS sales afterwards. Like, it's nothing afterwards. This money has made loads of revenue afterwards, probably, but I'm just looking at the box office numbers.
Is it 200 to 300, possibly, million?
No, significantly less. So they only made in the box office 78.3 million.
That's a good profit, though.
They did make a very good profit. Considering
maybe with inflation, it'll be 200 or 300 million, like today.
With inflation, it's very possible. Yeah. Let me pull up an inflation calculator very quick. Yeah. So, in the year 1984, 78.3 million US dollars. In the year 2024, I just realized I have done this on the 40th anniversary of Terminator coming out. Look at me doing things without trying to. I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome.
Anyway, the real reason, the real question here is that with inflation, 78.3 million US dollars in 1984 equivalates to 232.42 million US dollars. So you are right on the nose. In terms of inflation, you had it right.
Yes.
So, well done. Yeah, no, this film did very well. It had a huge surge, I know, as well, afterwards as well, in VHS and DVD sales. I don't have the exact figures on how much money it made, but I do know, like Shawshank Redemption, it made a lot more money through DVD sales and rentals than it did necessarily when it was in theaters, which is a big reason of why it got a follow-up. But then also, it made its money back and then some when it was made on a $6.5 million budget. But yeah, overall, great film, very fun sci-fi film. Very much looking forward to looking at part two somewhere down the road.
Yes.
PT, thank you so much for joining me on this journey.
It was fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. If listeners want to find you and listen to cool stuff that you're doing, where can they do that?
Journaling with PT on all the platforms. They can listen in on to the podcast. It'd be great to have some new listening ears. And on social media, I'm at Journaling with PT on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to this episode. PT, thank you so much for joining once again. And until next week, when we are looking at Joe versus the Volcano, which I know absolutely nothing about other than I'm assuming someone named Joe is in there and there's a volcano involved. I'll catch y'all later.